Well, thank you to the worship team for taking us into God's presence, reminding us of our strength, where our strength is found. It is a real joy to be here, fellowshipping with the Woodland Hills family. This has been my parents' church home since they returned to Columbia, and I have felt a deep sense of joy and a deep sense of peace because I've been able to see the love and care that's been poured out on them from this church family. So thank you for being the body of Christ to my mom and dad. It means a lot. And for the last few months, we've been able to be part of this family as well and have felt welcomed, even though it's been right in the days of COVID, and with a lot of restrictions, we have felt very welcome and glad to be back here in person as well. This week, we're taking a small departure. You may not know it, but we are in a series here, if I remember correctly, on the prayers of the New Testament, a whole overview of many of the prayers that are found in the New Testament. I'll be speaking on one of those in a couple of weeks. But today I asked Pastor Paul if I could speak on a topic that I spoke on 2 weeks ago at one of our churches over in Athens, Georgia. And this topic was part of another series, a preaching sermon series called Unpacking Care. How are we, as God's children, as followers of Christ, discovering and learning how to care well, to care for each other, to care for the needy, to care for the sick, the outcast, the marginalized? What a message we have for the world we live in now, where we're more aware of injustice and marginalization and neediness and hunger and many, many needs than we were maybe ever before in the past. And we have the opportunity all around us to care. And in that series, our pastor asked me to speak on something that I don't know very much about. That's always very awkward when you're asked to speak on something that you don't know very much about. And the topic that was assigned to me was caring for our aging parents. I'm just getting started. I'm really new at this. But most of you know our story, that we've been serving cross-culturally around the globe in various parts of East Asia, in Turkey, in Kyrgyzstan, and most recently for the past 10 years in Thailand. That's where we've lived and where we've served, and we've been so grateful that my mom and dad have been able to have their own home and then live with my sister and have been part of this church, as I already said. But about a little over a year ago, we realized that my mom, whom all of you know, our dear, wonderful, wonderful mom, was starting to see the impact of her cancer more significantly, and that the days seemed to be perhaps numbered for her. And so we sensed God calling us to relocate back from Thailand to here in Colombia to be a part of helping and serving and loving well. And as you know, we got to join immediately in what mom really needed was 24/7 care in the last months. And we got to be part of that right away, sitting by her bedside. And the wonder of being able to be alongside her as she entered eternity, I'll say more about in a moment. But since that time, we've also now had my dad move in with us, and dad's here today, and dad and I have talked through all of these things together, as have our siblings, and my dad knows that he's one of my life heroes and one of my mentors, and so all the things that I've been thinking about, and as we talk about this, some of the things are hard to talk about, but they're all said from the place of very, very deep respect. So my dad, and we've talked again about this so that nobody feels uncomfortable, is actually battling something called Lewy body dementia. And that Lewy body dementia is something that steals away not just memory, but it also takes away motor skills, and it also is characterized by pretty significant confusion and even hallucinations. and by a deterioration of what's called executive function and all of the connected communication issues that go with that. That's the specific context we find ourselves in. So Dad's living with us now, which I love. He's got his room in our house, and then he's got a room in my sister's house where he spends some time, and my other siblings are also helping care. That's part of the story that we're in right now, and we're just now discovering what it means to love and care for our parents in a way that we never thought about before. We just took it for granted. And yet I'm certain of this, that God's word has some things to say about our relationship with our parents, whether we're 4 years old, 14 years old, 40 years old, or the age that I am. God has something to say to us about our relationship with our parents. And interestingly, in Hebrew, the word father and mother can also be inclusive of forefather and foremother. It can include grandparents as well. It's not just about your biological parent. It's about those generations in our family that have gone before us. And so I want to take a little bit of a look at that today, but let me say something before we start. Not everyone in this room or on Zoom was raised in a home with loving, caring parents like I was. Some who will be listening even today were possibly raised in a home where they experienced maybe neglect or absentee parents, or in actually a sadly increasing number of homes, abuse, whether emotional, physical, spiritual, or even sexual abuse. And for those of you who have had that experience, to even think about what does it mean to care for, love, and honor parents could be traumatizing. So I ask that today God would wrap his loving arms around you and remind you that he, as our heavenly Father, is infinite in his love, that his majesties are unsearchable, and that he's holding us today, that he's invited us because of his great love into a family with a perfect Father. So maybe today there's encouragement for all of us, for the young and the old, and the middle-aged, whatever that might be, to consider what God has said to us about caring for, especially our aging parents. So before I actually dive completely into that, do you know we have a bit of a crisis? I think you're probably aware of this, that here in the US, people are living longer and longer. And that's even in the face of COVID. And birth rates, although not necessarily in this church, continue to decline here in the US. And so the average age of the population of the US continues to climb, and there are fewer and fewer and fewer young people available to care for those of us who are reaching the other end of our lives. That's actually a reality here. Tons of research has been done. The CDC, many universities have researched both the care receivers and the caregivers. Some very sobering realities. Many of you are already ahead of us in the caregiving. As I said, I'm just a beginner in this. But caregivers, it's estimated there are 68 million volunteer caregivers in the US alone. That's one in six people is either caring for a spouse or a child or a grandparent or some other family member, volunteer, unpaid. The US gets a bad rap for not taking good care of its elderly, but that's a lot of people. It's a tiny minority of people who end up in the wonderful facilities that are becoming available. As time goes on, there are more and more kinds of facilities that can help and help us provide good care. Did you know that the average amount of time spent is between 20 and 40 hours a week? The average annual cost to a volunteer caregiver is over $5,500 a year. 68% of those volunteer caregivers have very, very unhealthy sleep patterns because of their caregiving responsibilities. The vast majority have poor eating rhythms and habits because of their caregiving responsibilities. Upwards of 40% of all caregivers experience multiple symptoms of clinical depression during the course of their caregiving. And if you're doing that caregiving right now, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I can see some heads nodding. And I know that some of you know what it means to make the sacrifice, to be a primary caregiver to an aging parent. It's hard to do vacations. It's hard to go on date night. It's hard to go out to dinner. It's hard to go shopping. Those are the little things. What about the big decisions? How do I care? Where does my dad or mom live? What kind of medical care is needed? Who makes decisions about finances? What about my siblings? My own inner angst. Am I doing enough? Who should be doing more? Who should be helping? But there's even more, even other internal realities become because we look mortality face to face. We come into the caregiving for our elderly parents not really wanting to think about losing them. And it hurts to lose a parent. We lost my mom, and she's with Jesus, and we celebrate. But the hole that that leaves in our lives when we lose a parent is a deep hole. And it's not that we get over it. Grief is something that we become. It changes who we are, and we should be free to grieve. And it's even harder then to slowly lose a parent who's still with us, but for physical reasons or mental reasons or other health realities, we're losing them slowly. It's a very painful farewell over a long period of time. So all of that creates a bit of a crisis, but can I just ask us today that rather than viewing that as a crisis, that we might view this reality as one of the most wonderful ways to let the church show God's love to a needy world. How powerful that by the simple act of loving and honoring our parents well, we can show something of the love of God to a watching and needy world. That's my premise, and I hope that that will be part of what we're thinking about. We're going to take a meandering walk through God's Word. We're going to look at a bunch of different places. We don't just have one passage, and I won't go too long, but I do have a few thoughts that God has been forming as I begin to learn about what it means to love my dad well, to love my wife's parents, who are 93 and 90. I think my father-in-law's birthday is Tuesday, and Ellen's heading over to Athens, Georgia, for her dad's 93rd birthday. And he's just as fun as my dad. And I love having my dad in my house, and I'm trying to figure out what it means to love well and serve well along with my siblings. So as we look through God's Word, we're going to look at three different kind of lenses. We're going to look at this question, what does the Word of God say about caring for our parents, our aging parents, through three lenses. One, why is it so important? Okay, we're going to say, why is it important? Number two, how do we do it? And I can tell you right now, there is no simple blueprint. There's no easy how. It looks different for every one of us, but we'll look at that. And thirdly, I want to look at some of the wonder and joy of caring for aging parents. So why do we emphasize it from God's Word? How might God's Word help us understand how we do that? And then thirdly, the wonder and joy of caring for aging parents. So first of all, let's turn to one of the most foundational passages I think you could guess. If I had to ask you about your relationship with your parents, what would be the first verse you'd turn to? I hope some of us would think of Exodus chapter 20, when God gives the Ten Commandments to His peoples. In Exodus chapter 20, there's the list of the Ten Commandments that God gives to His people, this core set of guidelines that He gives to them. And He says this in Exodus chapter 20, the fifth commandment, He says this, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So one reason why it's important, one reason why we emphasize it is because it is God's command. Right here in this list, this important list, the prohibition of idolatry, the prohibition of murder, the prohibition of adultery, the prohibition of stealing, and also honor your father and mother. Isn't that a powerful, it's not 10 suggestions, it's 10 commandments from the Father God given to His own people. It's a commandment of God that's spoken out again throughout the Old Testament and reiterated again in the New Testament. And I would suggest that no matter how old we are, in fact, I think Theron would be the one to ask, but there's the Hebrew concept of both child there's a word for like infant in Greek and a word for offspring. And in Hebrew, there's a similar understanding of the words for father, mother, and child that are much more inclusive than the exact biological relationship between the birth parent and the birth child. And so as we think about this command, it's a call to us. Yes, first and foremost, our actual mom and dad, but also the generations of our family that came before them. How do we honor them? And what does this honor mean? Honor your father and mother. You know what it really means? Heavy weight. To make it heavy. To put emphasis. It means to say, this is really, really important. My mom and dad matter. Young people, don't think it's just for you. This is for me too. My dad's sitting right here, just like your dad's sitting right here, or your mom. It's to give weight, to put emphasis, to highly, highly focus on obeying and honoring your father and mother. That's what honoring is, and it includes a bunch of things in different stages of life. To honor your parents when you're a little kid mostly means obey. And you know what happens when you don't. In the next phase of life, when you're a young adult, it probably means learn from them and listen to them. When you've had your first kid, well, I didn't have any kids, but I've seen a lot of our friends, as soon as they have their first kid, suddenly their mom and dad know a lot more than they used to know. There's a listening that has to take place. But then later in life, there's a caregiving when the equation is flipped the other way. Honoring parents has different expressions in different phases of our life. So that's the first reason why we emphasize it as a body of believers among ourselves. And I know that among us, there are a lot of us who are nearing the later stages of our lives. But there's younger among us as well, and it's for all of us to think about that this is God's command. But secondly, I'd like to suggest that these Ten Commandments are not just a list of rules. If you take time to step back and pay attention to these commandments and the way they're used in the New Testament, these are a reflection of God's design for His creation, for the interaction of humans in societies, for the way that we relate within family, for the way that cultures and even His church interacts. They're a reflection of His design. The first four are strictly about our relationship with God. The last five are all about our relationship with other people. And this one, honor your father and mother, links our Father God in our relationship to Him with our horizontal relationships in our earthly parents. It's a very powerful expression of God's design for His creation. Here's a couple of ways that it's part of the design, and there are many more. First of all, it's God's design for nuclear family, which, by the way, is under attack in our culture now. A man and a woman, we learn in Genesis, are a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to a woman, and they are to become one flesh and to multiply and fulfill and fill the earth. There are meant to be two parents of each gender with children in the home and nurturing those children and children obeying those parents. That's the core design. That's under attack right now. If you could think of a better place for the enemy to shoot down biblical truth, why not shoot down male and female? He created them. And so I would just encourage us to be reminded that this commandment isn't just a to-do list, a rule. It's a design reflecting the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of the divine triune, perfectly mutually submitted relationship that we see in the Godhead. It's not just the design for the nuclear family. Let me say this. This also reflects God's design for the transfer of value and truth from one generation to the next. The best place to learn what God has for us and what He has taught us and what's true is in our own homes when we're young children. What a better place to discover who God is and how He interacts with us. Not all homes provide that. But it's the best place in God's design. Read the book of Deuteronomy and look how many times. Tell it to your children. Speak it out loud to your children. Tell these things to the next generation. In the Psalms, over and over again, speak of what God is doing to the next generation. It's God's design for the nuclear family, for generational transfer of value. And thirdly, it's also his design for living in submission to authority. Honor your father and mother is the first and most beautiful way to discover what it means to live under authority. Young people, let me just say to you, at some point in time, shake hands with authority. They will be there our whole lives. If it's not mom and dad, it's a teacher. If it's not a teacher, it's a policeman. If it's not that, it's worse. We must, at an early age, discover what it means to submit to authorities. And that's God's design revealed right here in the Ten Commandments. Okay, I'll leave you to discuss that a little bit more yourselves or to explore it more in your own studies. But so why emphasize this? Oh, good, that clock quit working, so I got a load of time. One of the reasons why we want to emphasize this is because it's God's command and it's God's design. But I'd also like to say this, that it's God's pathway to blessing. Right? You see, in that commandment, God says, honor your father and mother. Why? Well, not why, but the result will be so that it may go well, that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. That's a wonderful promise. And Paul, the apostle, repeats that in the book of Ephesians when he says again, children, obey your parents. Remember this, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land. But there's more to it than that, because this command is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. It has the Ten Commandments expanded. Deuteronomy chapter 5, take a look. You'll see that it's expanded and the promise is expanded. It's a promise of blessing because God says, honor your father and mother that you may live long in the land and that it may go well with you. And Paul picks that same thing up in Ephesians chapter 6. You don't have to turn there, just listen. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, that's all offspring. That's not little kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you. Don't we want it to go well with us? Every culture I've ever lived in, the greeting, Chinese ni hao ma, means, are you okay? Kaku vas dela in Russian means, how's it going with you? In Thai, sabaidi makeup means how well are you doing? Every one of the languages we've studied, the greeting is it okay with you? Are things going well with you? And don't we ask that of each other all the time? And don't we really deeply down in our souls want things to go well? We want well-being. It's part of what God has designed us for. And I love that the center line of the pathway to blessing and well-being is found right in this command, right in our relationship with our parents. Stop and think about it. Think about the impact of your family of origin on your life today. Think about how much impact, how many of your values were formed, how deep and wide and long the impact is. Where there might have been abuse or neglect, and or where there's care and love and nurture. The center line to a path to a life of well-being and blessing. One of the center points is a right relationship to honor our parents. That's not just found here. That's also found in the book of Proverbs. If you look at the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, it says this, hear my son your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Emblems of blessing. Listen to your parents. They know more than you think, is what it's telling us. And then Proverbs chapter 2, the long list of blessings. Insight, protection. Proverbs chapter 3, there will be peace and vitality and life if you obey your parents' teaching. So all of this combined is a reflection of the extraordinary blessing that comes. So why is it important? Because it's God's command. It's also because it's God's design. A right relationship with our parents is God's design. Additionally, it's a pathway to blessing. But let me say this too, there's really strong warnings, very strong warnings in God's word about not honoring our parents, not having a relationship that honors them. And I want to say that it's important. Some for those of you whose parents are not honorable, I'll come back and talk about that in a moment. But the very next chapter after the Ten Commandments, Exodus 21, says this. 21:17 says that if anyone doesn't honor their father and mother, they should be put to death. That's a really strong penalty for not honoring our parents. Really strong. But there's some other strong warnings as well. 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to Timothy, his protege, about life in the church. He's writing about how things should work. How do you take care of elders, and how do you help elderly, and how do you help older men and younger men, and how do the relationships work? And Timothy writes this, and I don't think in my 60 years I've heard a sermon on this verse. Maybe you have. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's a really strong verse for us to pay attention to, that Paul wrote to Timothy, that we should be careful not to disregard the needs of our family members. So it's a blessing, it's God's command, it's God's design, it's a pathway to blessing. There's strong warnings, and maybe even most importantly, as I said earlier, that this right relationship, honoring our parents, loving and caring for our parents, is also a way to display and proclaim God's sovereignty and love to the world. You know, I go for a lot of walks with my dad. Just yesterday we were in a Starbucks, and because we had to go exchange something at a store, and so I dropped Ellen off, we went to Starbucks. And I don't know, you won't see it very easily, but Dad had a really bad fall last week. And if you look, you can see the big scar that's on his head there. He has, I think, 10 or 12 stitches here, and the remnants of two black eyes. But he's a tough guy. I call him Mr. Titanium, because he was up and walking around with me again yesterday. And as we went into Starbucks, Dad has to walk pretty slowly, and every little step is a potential stumble. And his dad holds my arm and we walk. Person after person in the drive-through line takes a moment to interact with us, to smile, to wave, to notice what's going on there. When I get to the door, we couldn't open the door because others were opening the door for us. The staff was aware of what was happening. Because they didn't have any Sprite, they searched around for something similar. It's extraordinary what loving your parents can say to the lost world around us. And that's just one small thing. That happens again and again and again. And the door is open many times for me to say, well, you know what? My dad loved me, and God loves me, and so I'm trying to take a little bit extra, give my dad a little bit of extra attention these days. And it opens the door for us to share the good news with those who are lost. And I think we can do that really easily. It doesn't even take a lot of like words. It can be just the way that we behave. So that's the first lens, and the next two will go quicker. But that lens is, why is it so important? There's a lot of reasons why it's important to have a right relationship. How do we do it? How do you honor your father and mother? How do you care well for your aging parents? How do you love them? Well, there's no simple answer. Some of us are parents. We don't have a relationship with them. Some of us, they're living far, far away. Some of us, our parents are already gone and only one spouse. Some are remarried and alienated. There's so many different situations that it's important to say that each of us will walk our own journey of how that looks. But I think there are some things that we can learn that are somewhat universal for us, that I think we can take out of Scripture that help us when we think about how we love and care for our aging parents. And the first one is found from the life of Jesus. If you have a minute, turn to John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. It's just you're very familiar with this. Jesus, of course, has already been beaten and persecuted and suffered. He's stood trial. And now he's been cruelly nailed to a cross. He's bearing the sin of the world in his body. He's experiencing an agonizing death. His father, he's experiencing the forsaking of his own father. And in the middle of that painful experience, in John chapter 19, we read this. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Right in those dark moments, Jesus took care of his mom. It was really unimaginable that he could do that. And I think there are three things, again, that we could learn from this. There's probably 100, but three that came to my mind really briefly as Jesus set an example for us. Number one is this. He had a special attentiveness to his own mother. He's surrounded by disciples, by other women who had followed him, by lost people, and by soldiers, and by religious officials. And he took the time. He only had 7 utterances on the cross that we know of, and one of them was for his mom. And in 7 words, he made a plan. So the first thing is a special attention. We can all have in our souls a special attentiveness for our father and mother. No matter how far away they are, we can do that. Sometimes that's a text or a call, I don't know. But we can have a special attentiveness. Secondly, he made a plan and a provision. He did it in 7 words. Let me just say that Jesus was one among us who wasn't able to be the primary caregiver. Many of us cannot be our parents' primary caregiver. Many of us cannot, and Jesus could not. His father's design for his life didn't permit him to continue alongside his mom until she died. He had to get help, and that's the third thing. One, special attention for our parents. Number two, help with the plan and provision. Even if all you can do is call your siblings, you might not be able to be the hands-on giver of help, but participate in the plan and provision. And thirdly, get help. There's a lot of good resources. There's a lot of good help. If you've ever met hospice people, you'll be stunned. It has to be a calling. And there are wonderful facilities that care for the elderly, and I'm so thankful to God for them. So those three things, at least at a minimum, we learn from Jesus. 1 Timothy, there's another passage that speaks to us. So take a minute and turn there. It's 1 Timothy chapter 5. If you'll turn there just for a minute, I'd like us to have a look at this because grandchildren are mentioned in the Bible very specifically here. This is one more how we might be able to participate in honoring, loving, and caring for our aging parents. 1 Timothy 5:4 says this, and it's a passage where Paul is writing again to Timothy. He's talking about widows, but he specifically he expands the conversation from talking about widows to talking about needy family members. If a widow has children or grandchildren, there we are, all of us who are grandkids, let them first show godliness to their own household and to make some return, to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. In addition to what we see in the life of Jesus, Paul's call to all of us to be willing to bear some of the cost, whether it's time, attention, energy, finances, focus, whatever those things are, the call of this passage is to make some return to our parents. I was talking to my dad about it the other day because we were eating some asparagus. And one time when we were kids, we grew some asparagus out in the garden. Dad loved that asparagus. But we didn't like it so much. And so when I cut the grass one day, the lawnmower got right on the asparagus and cut it all down to zero. And when my dad got home, he was more than just curious about what happened to the asparagus. And I remembered the patience and the grace and the nurture that was given to me by my dad. Why don't we return some of what was given to us? We can do it.
We can do it. Okay.
One brief word for those of you who have, and maybe there are none in this room or on Zoom, I don't know. But if your parents are dishonorable, I'm not asking you to honor them. I don't think it's right to ask people to honor abusive parents. But let me help you. I didn't have that experience, but I've spoken much with a mentor of mine who did have this experience, and he shared some things with me because I've wanted to help many of my colleagues and friends who grew up in most awful homes. And so here are a couple of thoughts for those of you who maybe have a hard time even thinking about honoring your parents. First is this, that parents, just as governing officials and church officials, are positions ordained by God. They're roles that are God-ordained and God-given, and they can be failed. In fact, every parent fails. Every one of us has had to forgive our parents at some level. But for those of you who have been truly, truly damaged by dishonorable parents, at least begin by thinking in terms of that role and position as an honorable thing. And maybe separate the behavior from that position. That might help. But secondly, the more that we, all of us, can embrace God's forgiveness for us, the more that we linger at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and see the ocean of mercy and grace that we swim in, the easier it is to forgive those around us, including our parents. Aim for forgiveness. Don't be held in the bondage of unforgiveness. Find the freedom. Unforgiveness is the poison that I drink hoping someone else will die. Don't do it. Just forgive. So that's the second thing. Then use the book of Psalms. Psalms is God's gift to us, allowing humans to say, God, what about this? How long, O Lord? My heart is in turmoil within me. Let the Psalms be a pathway to lament and grief. And we need to be able to grieve. Get assistance, get counsel, ask your pastor and others to help. If you can't approach your parents, that's okay. There are those who may be able to help you in due time. That's just a few words about that. Lens number one was, why is it so important? Lens number two is, how do we do it? Well, there's a thousand ways. Number one, spend time. Be there, be present. Even if you can just use the phone. Now we have FaceTime and whatever else. WhatsApp, Zoom, Google Meet, Skype. I mean, it's endless the ways we can just look straight at people from far away and have a nice chat with them, so long as they can use those phones. But there are many ways we can be present. And just listening is almost the equivalent of loving. I love just hearing my dad and my mom before tell stories. And it's a real gift. Meaningful activities, if there's any way. Young people, see if your mom and dad will help you get your grandma and grandpa to take you to the park or something like that. It's kind of fun. You might be surprised. And if there's anyone in here who's at university age, go ahead and just ask your grandparents some questions, things you're thinking about. You'd be shocked at what they know and what they've already figured out. Persevere in difficult times with your aging parents. Preserve dignity and independence wherever possible. Affirm wherever possible. Absorb into yourself any kind of belligerence, anger, sulking, anything that's behavior that doesn't match up with the parent that you love, that's come due to mental challenges or physical challenges. Can you imagine being an executive of a company and then not even being able to get from your easy chair and make a cup of coffee for yourself? And imagine the frustration that that must create. So just absorb that into your own self. Don't let that upset you or concern you, and don't respond in kind. Advocate, be an advocate. The medical system is really complicated. I don't understand it. Does anybody in here like really have a handle on how this thing works? I don't get it. I don't get the billing. I don't get why it's the way it is or insurance. None of it makes perfect sense to me. Imagine what that's like for our aging family members. We've got to be advocates for them. One more thing that I really, really, really want to emphasize today is that I've noticed, and this again is from my very limited experience, is that one of the most meaningful things that we get to do is be part of mom and dad's and my parents-in-law's spiritual journey at this stage of life. It's harder to read. It's harder to use multimedia tools. It's harder to get physically to fellowship and be at all the events. And so one of the best things that we do is we play old hymns together at our house. And it's some of the best moments of our day. When I survey the wondrous cross, the old rugged cross, and so many hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness, that are deep and rich and meaningful, and devotions as well. All right, so that's the second lens, how, and then lastly and briefly, wonder and joy of caring for our aging parents. Don't think of it as a duty. It's spectacular. The other night, my dad was just about to go to bed, and we usually kind of go and do some ablutions before bedtime, and that always takes a little bit of time and effort, and just before Dad got in bed, he looked me right in the eye. And my dad, he's only got one eye, and the other one now has a patch because the prosthesis fell out. But he just looked right at me. And he said, "Thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping me. If you want to experience intimacy with your parents, be near them when they're vulnerable. Vulnerability is a pathway to intimacy. We know it. We know that our own weakness draws us near to God. And it's absolutely stunning and wonderful to have those experiences. It's also a portal to eternity. I've told you this. I think I shared it at the memorial service right here, that as Mom was in her last month, she slept most of her last month. But she'd wake up sometimes, right in the middle of a sound sleep, she'd just wake up. And I've told this before, but I'll tell it again because I'll never forget it. She said, one time she said to us, "Oh, do you know what heaven looks like?" And Ellen and I were in there and we're like, "What does it look like, Mama?" And she said, "Oh, you can't describe it." And then right back to sleep. And I thought, "Oh, I wish I could just hear you talk, Mama, a little tiny bit about what it looks like." She woke up another time, again, out of just a sleep. And she said, "Oh, Jesus came and lifted me up." And Ellen said, "Well, what did he tell you?" "He told me he loves me very much." You get to see your mom with one foot in the eternal world. And you get to be next to this window, like the porthole on a ship, where you get to have a look into what's beyond. I can tell you it's true, because we've experienced it. With my dad, I've seen my dad leading worship with his hand as he used to as a pastor in those moments of the old hymns, where he might come right out of a sleep and just suddenly be entering into a place of connection to the eternal. So I think those are a couple of ways that there is great wonder in it. It's intimacy beyond imagining, if you take the time, mixed in with a lot of difficulty and cost and pain that we know about. And it's also a portal to eternity. And lastly, it's a less obscure glimpse of the image of God. A less obscure glimpse of the image of God. The more capable we are, the more easy it is for people to look at us. So, wow, that guy there, he's, what a fast runner that person is. What an outstanding whatever that woman is. But in the phases of life where we're less capable, the measure of God's image is more visible in a less obscured way by the simple capacities of our humanity. And I'm only putting that out there as an appeal to take time to watch and listen and see God's extravagant love, even for those whose capacity may be slightly diminished. So how do we love and serve and care for our parents well? I would say, think of it in terms as a starting point of use 15 minutes a week differently. Just start there. If you're not interacting a lot already, just start there. And get on the phone or get near them or change your travel plans. Students, get near your grandparents and ask them some question that you've been thinking about and just listen and see what they say. And many, many, many other ways that we can love our parents. Well, hopefully that will be an encouragement and a challenge to us as we think about what does it mean to care for our aging parents.